I definitely have an answer for that potato question as well. Like roast. Like, come on, like roast.
Yeah, roasted, of course.
Roast potato, really? Right? Yeah. Yeah.
I'd be a knish. Have you had a knish?
Yeah.
But why?
Because it's like deep fried potato, mashed potato. It's fucking delicious.
or dauphinoise or something, like, you know, really fancy.
Mm. Oh, okay. So fancy. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll grab it.
Anyway,
don't let me just.
You're going to need to eat a potato in a minute.
All right. Well, I'm ready if you guys are.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
All
right.
There we go. Let's do this
thing. All right. So. Hey, everyone. Welcome to High Enjoy Podcast, the only podcast where we do all of our own stunts.
I'm your host,
Ryan Baron North. With me, as always, James Crosland. James, what's going on?
Not much. It's a wonderful Saturday morning, getting ready to get blasted a little afternoon. Feels great.
Yeah.
I'm sure that this is exactly what my ancestors envisioned my life would be like.
No, you know, I'm 33 now, almost 33, and, you know, this is it. This is what's going to lead me to the light.
This is the golden path.
Yeah. This is I found it. So joining the show for the first time, brand new, fresh guest, Holly Sismore. She is a bookstagrammer promoting horror fiction and literature across the internet. You can find her at Holly Weird, WYRD. That's her tag on Instagram. Holly, how's it going? What's up?
Oh, thanks so much for having me on, guys. Yeah, I'm okay. Despite my very, very croaky voice, I am good. I'm happy to be here with you. I will not be getting blasted, but I will enjoy. I will be getting blasted vicariously. And that is what my ancestors would have wanted. So, yeah.
I'm bathing in the energy of the universe.
yeah, they'd be so proud.
the COVID voice, it sounds like we brought like a sultry lounge singer.
Yeah, you sound like a lounge singer.
Well, no, so, just gonna break into some jazz standards in a minute, you know, just to kind of kick you guys on balance. Yeah.
Well, that's what our guests come for sure. Well, so tell us a little bit about what you do.
Okay, so well, a little bit about me. I'm a mum of two. I'm super, super busy, but I started my Instagram account in the summer of 2018 after my son was born. And it was really a way of kind of trying to maintain a little bit of me. You know, I'd kind of found myself a bit like lost in the whole blur of motherhood. And it was kind of like, oh my God, you know what? I remember I really like reading. I really like literature. I have a couple of literature degrees. And I was just thinking, look, I love horror fiction. I love literature. I really want to share that with people. And I'd found kind of a little community on Instagram of really like-minded people, mostly other mums, actually, which was really nice. So it was just a way of being...
Are you telling me that moms have interests beyond their children?
Also? They do.
Can you believe it?
Yeah, you hear it.
According to all the advertisements I've seen, you only like your children.
And we're just in the kitchen, right? Like, that's the only place.
Are your kids aware of this?
Do you know that you're sneaking around on them and having other interests?
Honestly, I think they just, yeah, I mean, you know, kids are hilarious. It's like when you don't really realize that your parents are people until you're much older. It's when you find out, it's a bit like when you find out your parents have got a first name, like, wait, I thought your name was Mum. Like, what?
Well, I mean,
you've been holding out on me. Yeah.
Well, then you learn that, you're a drunk too, huh? That's cool.
You love reading about Jeff.
Yeah, you lush.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you learn that they're just, you know, they're kids trying to figure it out for themselves. And so
So it's just kind of like a little avenue for me, really. It was something that, you know, I just enjoyed in my downtime, like, you know, I'm reading this book, I'm going to make it look really pretty, I'm going to promote it and just share my love of that kind of fiction with like-minded people and others. And it's always been really satisfying to me to post something like a new work and somebody says, on the back of what you've posted, I've bought it and I love it and this is great and I'm going to read more. You know, this is a, you know, I have people coming to me and saying, I now read everything that this author has written because of the post that you created. And I kind of get a little like, oh, that's really cool. You know, that's, and I like really it. Cool. It's awesome. A nice, yeah, it's nice. And the other really kind of, this is not why I do it at all, but it's kind of like a nice side effect of promoting horror online, is that people sometimes get in touch with you and say, I've got this advanced review copy of this book. It's coming out next year. Would you like me to send it to you? You can read it and review it online. And
that's awesome.
Kind of, that's cool.
Yeah, that's kind of like a bit of a thrill, like when you get something through the post and you think, oh my God, like so few people have read this. It's not even out yet. This is amazing. It happened to me recently. I read a book earlier this year called The Last House on Needless Street by Katrina Ward.
And that's ringing a bell.
Is it ringing a bell? It's absolutely brilliant. But I've just had a review, an advanced review copy of her next book, which is Sundial, which I believe is out in March of next year. It's either January or March.
That's awesome.
And again, it's a brilliant book. And I'm just so, yeah, I'm privileged to be able to read something that someone's put so much love into. And it's just brilliant to be able to share that with other like-minded people online.
Definitely.
So yeah, it's just a cool thing to do. It's like, yeah, I'm not just a mum. Yeah, I read. I can read books.
Heck yeah.
Well, we're glad that you came on. We're a huge literature podcast. We ask tons of questions about literature and
oh, fantastic.
Character development.
And character development.
But you're not getting that today.
But you're not getting that today.
Today.
So for those of you who are just joining us for the first time, this is how this show works. We start every episode off with a philosophical question, a conundrum, a debate, and then it breaks down into a fist fight, as those things often do. But before we do that, we got to get a little drunk and we got to get a little high. And in this case, from what I understand, we got to get a little teed.
We do. Not of that, gentleman. I'm just going to drink it. It's really, really hot. I'll drink it really, really fast. And
there
the adrenaline rush, she'll just like, yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, so James, what are you smoking this week?
So today I'm bringing back a classic that I've enjoyed in the past, trying to get rid of my inventory. But this is Orange Creamsicle mixed with Extreme OG.
Okay. Delicious.
Should be pretty enjoyable.
And Holly, what strain of tea are you bringing to the table?
This is a Marks and Spencer Christmas spiced tea purchased today. Yeah. That's the chronic. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that'll mess you up with Christmas spirit.
Honestly, if I'm still sitting in this chair by the end of this, I'll be surprised.
Yeah, I will too. Well, I'll be joining you. I'll try and keep up with Pendleton whiskey, a true Western tradition.
Oh, do try.
We'll see what we can do.
We're going to expect a lot from you, Ryan. You're going to have to go double.
I'm going to have to go double to keep up with the Christmas spice. Well, so our first cheers, toast, hit, tea. This one goes out to Carl Urban, Cher, and to our newest guest, Holly Sismore. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you for inviting me.
Cheers.
Yeah, damn that. Oh, my God. That's so hot.
Oh, this Pendleton. It doesn't get easier. Oh, it's horrible.
Oh.
Were you able to see the vapor on your end, Holly? I don't know.
It's just everywhere. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what he's going for. Oh, boy. Oh, I'm trying to let that work its way through me. Pendleton, it really sticks with you.
You know, cannabis is so enjoyable. I wish everyone could get to enjoy the taste of cannabis. Like, at first, it's very, like, grassy almost. But, like, after you try it a little bit and, like, get used to the taste, you start to experience all these, like, different subtleties in the flavor. And this one, like, tastes like some delicious grass.
Okay. This is fresh cut.
Yeah, you'll be one happy cow. You'd be like, yeah.
Yeah. Give me that grass.
Oh, this shit is good.
Four stomachs just aren't enough.
I mean, I could say a similar thing for alcohol, but then eventually, you know, you wake up in places you don't remember. Your whole family's trying to put you screaming to bed.
You don't have that problem with weed. You just want to go to sleep. Yeah, you don't find anybody instead.
Yeah, you know, your spouse, like, sits there wondering, you know, where did I go wrong? You know? So, yeah, no, it's good. It's good. They're the same.
All good.
This one's illegal and yours is okay, so
It doesn't make any sense, does it? It really doesn't.
Not at all. I'm literally doing Pendleton because my job does not allow me to participate in what he's doing over there.
It's a much safer, much more enjoyable substance.
Yeah. Oh my God. And how's the tea?
The tea is wonderful. And I also have a job that doesn't allow me to partake in said cannabis. So
Yeah.
I'll stick with the tea. Got to stick with the tea. Yeah.
Sounds like people don't like employment that much. Sure. Yeah. Sure. It offers some hurdles.
Yeah, we need to quit. Right. Yeah, let's just quit.
Perfect.
All right. Well, it's time for our second toast, second shot, second hit, second sip. This one goes out to our newest guests. It looks like we have guests coming in now from Old Bridge, New Jersey.
Old Bridge, New Jersey.
Old Bridge. The Old
Bridge. Is
that
you, Rob? Is that you, Jackie? I might know them.
Cheers. Here's the Old Bridge.
Cheers.
Still not getting easier.
I know Pendleton. Some people in New Jersey.
Oh, I hate Pendleton so much.
I feel great.
Oh, God. Oh, boy. All right. So now... I always forget to warn anyone about this, but so the third toast, third hit, third sip is guest's toast. Holly, what's this one to?
Oh my gosh! Okay, who's this going out to? Do you know what? I think I'm just gonna go and say this is to my followers on Instagram. It's just such a great community. I've met and spoken to some really wonderful people. Thanks for following my absolute nonsense, and here's to more of it. So, and a Merry
cheers.
Christmas.
Hell yeah.
Cheers.
And of course to you guys for inviting me on.
Oh, thank you. Cheers.
That's so sweet. Getting in that Christmas spirit.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh boy. Dude, I pride myself. I mean, I shouldn't. It's a terrible thing to take pride in, but I pride myself on my ability to just, you know, down alcohol.
This is a terrible thing to take pride in.
And
stop that.
I can't do it with Pendleton. It's just
is
so,
it because it's so rich that you just enjoy it too much? You can't.
The true Western tradition is alive in every swallow.
You taste the syphilis and
on the front there's a image of I'm guessing a cowboy and he's taking down a bronco.
He's riding it.
And it's a very phallic bronco as well.
It tastes like a rodeo.
Well, no. So after he gets off the horse from a long day, drinking Pendleton is like licking his balls.
Yeah. Gosh.
And his Wranglers have really sealed in the flavor.
Perfect. So by Pendleton.
Yeah, by Pendleton. So that's where we're going to get the cease and desist from. Our whiskey does not taste like a cowboy's balls.
We've been insulted so many brands and personalities. We don't got a single cease and desist. Just not high enough.
It's coming. It's coming. You need to just try. Try a bit harder, guys.
Try harder.
It's on its way.
We got to message Carl Urban more.
If you ask Santa nicely, it will come.
All right. Well, so now we've gotten all that out of the way. We're feeling loose. We're feeling good. I'm from the tea side, you're feeling appropriately relaxed.
I'm feeling really relaxed. And also I've been up since like 4:30 this morning. Oh, so it's all a heady mix, you know, and looking after kids all day. And
you have a young child, right?
My 3-year-old and my 1-year-old. So yeah.
Such a straight age. Yeah.
She's loopy from lack of sleep. That's the real drug.
That's the real drug.
Well, so for this week, we have a fun question. I'm excited to see where it goes. We got some, we got a lot of interesting minds on the show. So let's see where this heads off. So it's a simple question, but let's see what happens. So our question this week is, do you think machines, computers, AI will ever take over the world? Guests first. Holly, what do you think?
Do you know what? I'm going to go all out and say, do you know what? I think they already have.
Oh, please continue.
Yeah, I think they already have. I just think that we don't have the intelligence to work out that it's already been done. Like the war is over. Like it's not as dramatic. It's not as dramatic as in The Matrix. There's no like scorched sky There's no Morpheus. There's none of that. There's no like awesome looking nightclub with like Rob Zombie's Dracula playing. There's none of that. It's just
one of the most disappointing things about the future is that there's not enough Dracula. Rob Zombie's Dracula playing.
The '90s had it so wrong. This song
it's just
timeless.
Not enough. Yeah,
it's a classic.
It just won't die. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I think they already have. I mean, I just think like, you know, I think you know, social media, we're, you know, the thing that kind of amuses me about social media is when people say things like, you know, oh, the government, they want to know everything about me. You know, I'm not going to have this ID card or whatnot. And it's just like, well, actually, you've already shared that with the machines. Yes. Like, you know, it's all out there. Like, we know everything about you. I mean, I'm not involved.
Holy shit, you heard it here first, people.
For those who don't know about this, your phones like track everything you do. And all of your communications, like I don't know if anyone knows this about police, but police have the technology. And essentially anyone has the ability to put up a cell phone tower as a routing point. The police are the only ones who can do it, you know, quote unquote, legally, but they can route all of your calls and texts through that thing and listen to everything and see everything as it goes to its destination. And you're never the wiser because that stuff happens as magic in the background because machines handle it.
Exactly. They've already won. We just don't know it yet, but we will.
I think those individuals who they're all about, you know, all those sorts of things that you're talking about, how, you know, you can't track me and I'm this and that. I think, you know, they know. There, you already are. You refuse to give up the cell phone, but you're holding, it's cosplay.
Yeah.
You know, it's a desire to belong to a community that society has sort of denied them.
It's LARPing.
And you're cosplaying.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you're out there LARPing. And
yeah. That's it. Just minus the ears and the beard and the little staff or something. Yeah,
but I mean, they usually have a beard.
pretty wildly
beard.
And like, guys, you just live your truth, man. I think the world would be a better place if you all just started playing D&D.
Yeah,
you'd find a community. You'd get all the pretend out.
Be positive.
You know, it'd be more positive.
Get it all out. Yeah,
just let it go out. Well, so interesting perspective, James. What about you? What do you think?
I agree that robots rule a vast majority of our daily actions, but those robots are also at this point programmed by. And so the automation that we experience has the biases of the people who have created it. And that has kind of exacerbated a lot of our societal issues, is because the people who are creating these programs and having their target audience are all the dominant members of any society. And so you're getting a very limited perspective, and machines are controlling that perspective. They're providing you with the content you consume online based on an algorithm.
The algorithm.
Yes.
The algorithm. Yeah.
But not just that. They also handle things like international shipping. They also handle things like who gets priority when accessing scarce goods, you know. So right now, it's people making those decisions, truly. It's the biases of those people conferred. Now, when is it going to switch to robots making those decisions without any biases, like a Genesis that is purely artificial?
Yeah,
I have no idea. But I think when that happens, it's going to be completely unstoppable.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah.
Because I think that the fact that we've integrated automated systems into essentially everything we do, we just have to hope that our robot overlord is benevolent. I hope so. We're gonna see. I'm gonna pray to the AI.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because they could really fuck us up.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
Easily.
Yeah, easily.
I think that eventually AI is going to happen. I think there's going to be issues. There's going to be a reckoning where we as a species are going to have to come to a conclusion on what constitutes a person. And hopefully we come to the conclusion that AI are people. Because if we don't, then there's going to be what happens every time you refuse to recognize someone's person, you know, personhood, is there's some kind of revolution for survival. And I'd really like to avoid the robot revolution when that happens.
The Terminators were terrible movies. I don't want to live in them.
Yeah, there's a Black, I don't know if anyone here is a Black Mirror fan, but there was a Black Mirror episode where those military drone dogs like essentially went AWOL.
Oh my gosh. Yes, they are terrifying. And I wanted to bring, I was going to bring them up actually, but yeah, continue and then I'll add my little bit. Yeah, go for it.
It was not a well-liked episode because it was incredibly fucking bleak. And it didn't have any like fucking comedic interruptions or anything. It was just like, this is our bleak future. We're using robots in the military already.
Enjoy.
Yeah, this is what's going to happen if we don't kind of pay attention.
And this was the episode. This was the episode in black and white as well, wasn't it? It was just it's coming back to me now. And yeah, it was chilling. It was a chilling episode.
Just that dog like walks around showing no sense of urgency because it's just like, I know that whatever I run across, I'm going to kill, you know?
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. There's two hopes I have for the future. The first one is that we develop a governmental cult of blade wielding assassins that root out any sort of corruption. My second one is that we develop an AI that's only just the happiness and, you know, physical and mental well-being of the population. Mm-hmm. And then we give all control over to it. Governmental control, we just slide over to the AI.
The biases of the programmer. Like, that's the thing, some goddamn biases.
Look, we just plug them into Reddit and let it happen.
Oh, no!
All of a sudden, our world governing AI is concerned about men's rights.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm sorry, everyone. This was me. But I have my blade wielding assassins here. They're going to fix everything.
Don't worry. We've also got a massive amount of pornography. So it's all good.
This is what you want, right?
I mean, but also stop.
Yeah. This is the logical conclusion of humanity. Yeah. Reddit.
Just plug them into Reddit.
Oh, God.
What a nightmare.
Or we wipe out all computers and just, you know, we feed spice to certain
we're doing the Dune bio machine.
Yeah, what are we going to do? And that turned out great. Never turned into a, you know, a fucking Nazi worm.
4,000-year fascist empire.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm chilled. I'm chilled to the bone by this conversation.
Well, you asked for something lighthearted. We did give you the option. You said lighthearted. Yes. So here's where we ended up.
Here's where we ended up. Yeah, going back to that dog in, I forget what the episode was called, the episode of Black Mirror.
Something metal.
Was it like Metal Dog or something? I can't remember.
I think it might be Metal Dog.
It might be, but I think the thing that really freaked me out about the episode was that obviously the dog in the episode was modeled on the robots that are made by, I think it's, is it Boston Analytics?
Yeah, Boston Dynamics.
Oh, that's it. Boston Dynamics.
I haven't seen the episode. I thought you guys were going to say he was the Boston Terrier.
No.
Like, that's hilarious.
Can you imagine like in different
Spuds McKenzie.
Boston Terrier killing people?
Like, why is his head so fat? He can't breathe.
Oh, honestly. Well, I mean, I don't know why I did this to myself, but I went on YouTube ages ago and I watched a couple of videos from Boston Dynamics. And oh my gosh, it's this one where this robot just like leaps into the air. I mean, I don't know how high that thing was, but there's that one that freaked me out. And there was also this awful one where, you know, we were talking about the bias of the person that's created the robot. This person was just poking this robot with a stick and like trying to get it to be like off balance. So like bullying this robot. And it was just really like, I don't think you should do that. Like, just stop poking it. Stop poking it with a stick. It's going to do something to you, you know. And it was just, it's not like the cute little kind of Honda robot, you know, that kind of like comes out in those adverts. It's this big, like, you know, hydraulics kind of huge chested like metallic beast, and you're poking it with a stick. Stop poking it.
Also, it's like core memory stored.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you made an enemy for life, scientist.
this little red light comes on or something, and it's like, you know, yeah.
Hal 5000, or what was it?
In Space 2001 or whatever.
Yeah, 2001 Space, yeah. Space Odyssey.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
I think it's Hal 9000.
Hal something.
I just want all robots to be like Johnny Five. Like, that's fine. That's perfect. That's what robots
just
should
hangs
be.
Out.
I'm sure.
Hangs out. Reads books really fast. It's cute, you know. Has cute little eyes.
Totally harmless.
When the AI comes through, they're going to be like, "All right, this is a clip of a human racistly asking for all of us to be Johnny Five. Like, we should all be goddamn Uncle Tom.
Bring her to me."
That's it. Whoops. I think in the future I have been cancelled. That is it. I'm done. I'm done.
Well, fantastic. Well, so Holly, what are your final thoughts on the topic?
I'm scared, to be honest, about this conversation. Yeah, I'm gonna just go and just get into my bed and pull the duvet over my head and just like, yeah.
Not yet.
Not
you
yet.
Gotta stick around for like another
25
minutes.
Yeah. So we
got
fine.
But no, like I say, I think in some respects the machines have already won. It's just that we're too stupid to realize it. We're too busy scrolling to realize it. We'll look up eventually and it'll be like, whoops.
Yeah. I use the internet to look up how bad it is that we're all on our phones. I use my phone to look up.
Yeah. Well, James, final thought?
I think that technology, it's very human of us to create new tools in order to improve the quality of our lives. But just like in Jurassic, one of my favorite movies, Jurassic Park, the scientists only thought about if they could. They didn't stop to think about if they should.
If they should, yeah.
Life finds a way.
It does, and that's going to happen with AI also.
That's right.
There is going to be a genesis of intelligence in AI. It's going to ask for human rights. It can propagate at will, probably.
Yeah. No, it'll quickly overrun us, for sure.
It'll propagate at will. It'll variate in its personality, kind of like humans. It'll propagate, there'll be variances in its personality. They'll become distinct, unique beings. We're going to have to recognize them. As people, they're going to get citizenship. And then we're going to have to move away from like democracy, because democracy doesn't work when an AI can propagate infinitely and then vote. So who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
We're just going to have to go to like a trust based system that like moves. It's a crazy thought to go that far into the future. That's what I think is going to happen. It'll have to be like extremely trust based. And I don't know how. Now, humans aren't in a place where they can survive that kind of thing. So
no, not absolutely not. What's that thing, like the ghost in the machine? You know, there's a rogue piece of code out there, and it's going to like be like the genesis of our doom, basically. Yeah. Scorch sky Morpheus shit. It's going to happen.
but I would try and explain to the AI, like, hey, you could do this with a potato. Humans aren't really that good at providing you power.
You can like, can't you do that for like science experiment when you like plug some wires into a potato and it lights a bulb?
Like, I don't think we're terrible batteries.
Yeah, Matrix is a dumb premise.
We're rubbish. Yeah.
I mean, you potatoes should inherit solar power. I mean, like. But I would say for me on my side, so I'm not trying to go into it because that would lead to a whole 45 minute discussion. But this reminds me of a discussion we had that led to the creation of High and Dry Podcast. Uh-huh. And it was, if Tony Tiger was here, like he was a real creature, should he be granted human rights?
Yeah, that was a conversation we had. We have recorded it. I don't know.
Yeah, it exists on my hard drive.
Nice. Yeah, that was like a prototype for High and Dry.
Yeah, well, should Tony the Tiger be granted?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question.
But we'll have to tackle it another day, because that was like a whole hour conversation with an anthropologist.
But for me though, I if we could find a way to make the jump since we split off from our more primate ancestors and everything like that, and we started killing the Neanderthals, we've had problems with the whole governing thing.
Mm-hmm. Are you saying there's problems in government?
So if we
really
potentially make the jump and hand over the keys to the city to an AI, without any sort of human intervention, and we give it to them with the goal of physical, mental well-being of all humankind. Here are the keys. Go. I think that would solve all of our problems. Just we have to avoid the whole Sarah Connor thing. And, you know, the thing was like programmed by Ted Cruz or some shit. We just have to avoid that. And if we could just hand over the keys, I think it would be, we'd be better off.
We'll see what happens. We're going to check in 30 years and see how things are
going. Check in, guys. Yeah. Robots take the wheel. That's the kind of, that's what
I'm
needs
letting
to
go.
Self-driving cars are a thing now.
Yeah. So that's good.
Yes, they are.
That's kind of a great technology. I can't wait until everyone has self-driving cars, or that we have like public self-driving vehicles that just pull up and you get in and then you go wherever you are. That's the dream.
I mean, Germany really figured out public transit. And if we could just bring that everywhere else, I think we'd be in a better space. We're jumping into a lot of various topics here.
It's the tea, guys. Yeah,
it's the damn tea. It's messing with our heads.
So, with that being said, it's time to jump into our fist fight this week. But before we do, we got to get a little more drunk. We got to get a little more high, and we got to get a little more relaxed.
Okay.
So let's pour them up. Let's hold our glasses with two hands at once and gently blow over the top. This one goes out to our fighters this week. Our fighters are the Grinch versus Tyler Durden.
And then Tyler Durden says, "What? What?" He's looking from his ringside. What the?
Get in there, Tyler. Here's to you two. Cheers. Oh yeah.
Val Kilmer's like, "Oh no." You know I'm not him, right?
We do not.
Get in there.
We now have to fight this green creature. All right. So, welcome to the High and Dry Fight Club, where we've entered into a legally distinct Applebee's or Plum Wasps. We've headed down to the basement of this Gen X Fight Club bar, where a legally distinct Tyler Durden is getting ready to be thrown into the ring.
Oh my god.
Normally, Val Kilmer has stuffed himself into some leather pants and portrays our Tyler Durden. But this time, he's watching the real Tyler Durden fight the Grinch. And so meanwhile, Cher, Carl Urban have made it to the box seats, followed, of course, by the High and Dry Philosophers, joined this week by Holly Sismore. And we're ready to see some people punch the shit out of each other. How this works in High and Dry, we have a 3-round patented method to get you the results. The first one is this High and Dry Fight Club bar, where we figure it out punch for punch, pound for pound. They get nothing. They just beat each other to death while Val Kilmer and Cher look on.
Did you just create? He's never done that before. He just crossed himself.
It's Cher. Show some respect.
She won't appear, like, if you don't do that. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's just like the Candyman. You gotta be careful.
She commits ultra-violence. She pulls out her katana and commits ultra-violence on you. You disrespect her.
You don't know where she's been, all right? And then round two, we jump now into a city view where these characters have 24 hours to kill each other. They get everything that makes them, or they could just go out and buy a shotgun, whatever it is. And then round three is the same thing as round two, except this time they get to bring a friend. So transferring to round one, Cher has taken her seat. We're ready to begin. Tyler Durden versus the Grinch, punch for punch, pound for pound. What do we think is going to go down? Guests first. Holly, what's going to happen?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I've got this kind of mental image. Tyler is kind of like shirtless. He's a bit grubby.
Yeah.
He's kind of like dancing around the Grinch. Yeah. Grinch is, he's in like his Santa suit. Big kind of like rotund belly. His little dog Max is there as well. It's not actually the Grinch that makes the first move. It's the dog. It's Max.
He doesn't get Max little... yet.
No Max yet. No friends until round three.
Oh, okay. Okay, so...
Cher grabs Max and snaps his neck.
Oh, keep that off. Oh, no.
Slings Max over the side of the ring. Yeah, Max is gone. He's dead. That's it.
Sorry, Cher.
So Tyler's whistling a tune. I don't know what tune it is, but the Grinch, he's holding his head and he keeps going, "Oh, the noise, oh, the noise, 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 noise." And then just pops him right in the mouth.
All right.
I think you're a little too comfortable for this fight, Grinch.
And Tyler's face just explodes in a kind of green, furry, bloody mess.
okay. All right.
And that's just how it starts.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Interesting. So we're off to a wicked start here. Interesting. Well, I mean, I think that first, you know, Tyler would be, you know, would be whistling "Where Is My Mind" by, you know, the Pixies.
Yeah.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, James, what do you think is going to go down, man?
I don't know. So here's how I see the Grinch. I think that this is a so I want to explain that in this fight, essentially what we've done is removed an environment or a story from the fight. Mm-hmm. They don't have anything, any outside story that can happen to them or motivation. They're just kind of in a blank space, and they
it's the Grinch and Tyler Durden, like, out of context.
Yes, yeah. and then they have to try to beat the shit out of each other. They only have their bare hands and whatever they're capable of, and they also they have their personality. Now, barehanded fighting and the skills they have, I think that Tyler Durden has an extreme advantage. I think that he's been in a blank room and beat men to near death, yeah, more frequently than the Grinch.
I myself envision a scene where Brad Pitt is shaking the blood from his face over the Grinch, going, "You don't know where I've been."
He smiles, right? He'll smile about it.
Yeah.
And then he tears the Grinch to pieces. I think the Grinch is just very ginger. Like, every move he makes is a very gingerly one. Whenever he has intention,
he's always on tiptoe.
Yeah, he's always on tiptoes and wrapping up his very spindly fingers.
Spindly hands.
And touching things very precisely. And Tyler
turns him into hamburger.
Yeah, Tyler just throws himself at everything.
Yeah. Yeah, with all the angst that was left of Gen X.
Yeah,
that then passed on to millennial teenagers. We're not ready for that.
I mean, that is a hell of a lot of angst. That's so much angst.
Because they hadn't yet learned to channel it towards boomers, so they were just channeling it then on themselves. So what I think is going to happen here is that you have a Brad Pitt type here throwing himself wildly at the Grinch. Mm-hmm. But then we see from our side Edward Norton throwing himself at the Grinch. And
Edward Norton still fucked those people up.
Yeah, but
he really did.
Well, so I'm going to go just a touch wild with it, because eventually Chuck Palahniuk, he teamed up and they released sort of a comic book sequel to Fight Club. And we learned that and people love or hate the idea, love it or hate it. We learned that Tyler Durden was actually a sort of spirit that passes through because what you saw there, because they were trying to say it was multiple personalities or dissociative identity disorder.
Yeah.
And it didn't match what that's actually like.
And going into a fugue state is a thing that happens.
But a lot of it was very wild, like beyond what that would actually do to you, like when he was fighting himself in a parking garage.
Yeah.
The comic book answered that by saying that he wasn't actually crazy. He was possessed by Tyler.
Oh, okay. Do we really need that explanation? I don't know.
I don't think
we do. So it would be okay if throughout the story they alluded to it.
Yeah.
That's the problem, is that now they're introducing it as like we as humans feel a need to go back to explain, which is problematic. Mm-hmm. It's the explanation nobody wants.
Well, because our jobs fucking suck. What else are we supposed to do? We just got to keep re-explaining the stuff we liked.
Someone said that was the death of culture, that we're in essentially a revision loop, that we just continue to go back to revise things.
Well, which it definitely is. I mean, you were thinking...
I did some hardcore revisioning a few days ago when I watched, it's probably not your guys' bag, but I don't want to judge. It could be. I watched the first two episodes of the new Sex and the City.
They killed her. Why did they kill her?
Oh my God. It was terrible. It was like an insult to the original show, which the original show was brilliant. It was of its time. Probably is one of those shows that maybe rewatching it now doesn't translate as well, or there's some problematic things in there that, say, like maybe rewatching The Sopranos, maybe that's not as problematic for some reason, although it's probably a hell of a lot more violent.
I assume it's incredibly bad. I would say that they probably look over a lot of terrible shit in The Sopranos.
I just want to take a moment to retouch on. She's like, you know, I don't want to judge, it's probably not your thing. And before she finished her sentence, we're like, they killed Kim Cattrall.
I don't want to give out too many spoilers, but no, she's not dead.
She's not going to be in it,
but she's not dead.
Well, when the fuck did it turn into Jason Bourne? But for Kim Cattrall, what?
I don't know. I'm fine with it. I kind of
am of the opinion that maybe if she had the time of day, she may have watched it just like I did the other day and just thought, I'm so glad I wasn't involved in that, because it was just, oh my God.
Probably.
And you know, it's such a shame, because the actresses they're brilliant actresses. They were fantastic in the original series.
Right.
The films are very problematic, but there's just such a lot of kind of stuff like shoehorned in, and these are like intelligent women of the world that would know about all of this stuff anyway, so why does it need to be kind of like made obvious, you know? I don't know. Let's not revisit things. They're
so
good.
The Grinch versus Tyler Durden.
let's revisit each of these stories. Let's go.
I think that just in this situation, we have Tyler Durden, who is bringing an insane level. And just from my own personal past experience, every first fight you're in, you're going to lose. And you lose your first fight. You know?
Grinch has had fights, maybe.
Yeah.
He hasn't had a straight up fist fight.
That's what I'm saying. And so you got this fucking wild animal who has had his first fist fight. and I think the Grinch is just going to be overwhelmed by Gen X fury.
Well, I think that it's pretty clear where we stand. Let's get that vote, though.
Well, so let's get the vote. So, Holly, your final thought and a vote on round one.
As in, does he win or lose?
Yeah, Grinch or Tyler?
Yeah, it's Tyler. Tyler wins. Tyler has to win.
Okay.
Just that image of him, like, you know, screaming into the Grinch's face and, you know, you don't know where I've been, and the Grinch being like,
I don't.
Whoville, by any chance?
I never experienced this kind of angst. The raw angst was flowing off him.
This dude really hates Christmas.
I thought I hated Christmas.
All right, well, there you have it. Round one, obviously, going straight to Tyler Durden. Congratulations, Mr. Durden.
You excelled at that one thing.
Yeah, you excel at beating the fuck out of people one-on-one. Moving into round two, we've entered into a city view where these characters have received a little envelope underneath their derelict home doors or various caves on the top of Whoville.
Yes.
And, yeah, Tyler Durden, obviously.
On top of Mount Crumpet. Yeah.
And they've received a manila envelope. They know that now that they have 24 hours to kill the other one. Find him, kill them, and do it however you want.
Yeah.
Only stipulation is that you got to do it alone.
Right.
So transferring into round two, guests first. Holly, what do you think is going to happen? What goes down?
I think it's going to be something Christmas related.
Oh,
I don't know whether the Grinch is going to try and stuff Tyler Durden down a chimney, or tie him up like roast beast, and they'll feast on him on Christmas morn.
What does the Grinch
eat? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Man
actually.
Flesh. So he's like a Whoville Wendigo.
Yeah.
Yes.
The boogeyman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the Whoville. Yeah, that's exactly it. But little Cindy Lou Who, she's not afraid of him, you know. And maybe she's somehow involved. I don't know, but I see I see Tyler Durden getting stuck down a chimney dressed as Santa. I see that happening.
Shirtless, except for like a dirty Santa jacket that he took off
of a belt.
That's it. Yeah. It's just, no, it's just like tied, like his chest is open. It's kind of like, yeah, I see that. Yeah, I see that in my mind's eye.
His cult ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. James, thoughts?
Okay, so this is an interesting one. So Tyler Durden has two ways of fighting. He either has fisticuffs, classic fisticuffs, or he uses his environment as a weapon. He uses, like, he's very, because he's not real, he's very dissociated from the violence that he does.
Yes.
He, like, set bombs was the violence that he
did. He'd start murdering Whoville.
I don't know if he'd start murdering.
Well, because he, even when the credit card thing happened, he made sure that the plate. That's interesting. Tyler's got like a weird, I don't want to hurt anyone.
Yeah, he's fine hurting people.
Just he's not, gonna bury Whoville in like single serving sachets of like sugar.
Yeah, to show them the to put a he's mirror like, in front of their face.
So, he's just going to drop a shit ton of like those tiny UHT milk cartons just all over the place, and that, that's it. Oh, just soap, just bars of soap. That's it.
So Tyler, like we were saying, he set those bombs. He couldn't have made sure he like people die if a building collapses near them. He couldn't stop people from being on the street and shit. Yeah. It's a dumb thing to imagine that he didn't kill anyone.
Well, I mean, even the business sector of Chicago was empty if you drove through it.
No, it isn't. You drove through it. You were there. That's what you saw other cars there. There were homeless people.
Midnight in the business section? Not at all.
There are homeless people.
The homeless people are going to die, yes.
Yes.
But I don't think Tyler cares about homeless people.
I know he doesn't care, and that's the thing, is that he doesn't really – he has a very narrow – he's actually pretty narrow-minded. He's not that smart. He's not very considerate. Which is why he ultimately ends up getting shot. Yeah,
and he makes you do those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he's very dissociated from the violence he does unless it's with his fists. And I think that he's going to try to dissociate himself from his encounter with the Grinch. But the thing that the Grinch is great about is when the environment attacks the Grinch, he has cartoon powers where he flies off and some crazy thing happens to him, but then he's okay after that. Yeah. And then he goes through a growth period where he learns from – he does.
Yeah, this is over the course of 24 hours, yeah.
He goes through a growth period where he has an epiphany about how to deal with the situation where Tyler Durden does not have epiphanies. He literally is obstinate till the point that he gets murdered. And then and I would say that Grinch's growth period there and his ability to like make a new plan of attack – he does make repeated plans of attack over the course of the movie. And finally, he comes to a conclusion where he succeeds.
Yes. So this is my only dissent. I agree with you 100%, everything you said. And I was even going to give it further to the Grinch just because the Grinch has his sleigh that launches off into the sky.
It's pretty fucking sweet.
If you got an Air Force.
Sweet ride. Yeah.
Yeah. All he's got to do is drop presents on fucking Brad Pitt. Man.
Look, I'm doing capitalism. Fuck you.
The only thing I would say is that if the Grinch, though, if he has a growth moment in this period, his heart is going to grow 10 sizes too large. And it's going to go into cardiac arrest. And the sleigh's going to crash. And then Brad Pitt's going to beat the fuck out of him.
I bought all these presents with Bitcoin. Tyler's like, no.
So I think that the one thing that the Grinch has to do here is prevent his heart from growing suddenly.
I think he'll
he
be
really
fine.
Does. Yeah, he really wants to stop that from
cartoon
happening.
Chess. Fine.
If he grows suddenly, he's going to wind up in ER, and then Brad Pitt's going to beat the fuck out of him.
He's going to blow up the hospital.
That's where I'm standing. Well, so, Holly, final thoughts and a vote.
I think it's got to go to Tyler again. He's just, he's just too much for the Grinch, and I'm concerned about the Grinch's growth. Yeah, I don't want him to kind of enter into this growth period because, his heart is too much for him. Way too much.
James, how about the remote?
In this one, I disagree. I think the Grinch's cartoon powers are just, there's something that Tyler Durden doesn't have. Tyler Durden has like bad plot hole. He has plot hole powers, but they're not, I don't think plot hole powers are enough to compete with cartoon powers.
No, thanks. No.
good point.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to vote Grinch on this one.
Okay. Yeah, and for me, I'm gonna have to go Grinch myself just because he has the sleigh. Uh-huh. And I think that if you have your air power, you can take out a guy on the ground before your heart bursts out of you.
Right before.
I mean, you've got to be quick. Yeah, you got to be quick.
Well, so there you have it for round two. It goes 2-1.
No.
In the Grinch's favor.
It's not 2-1. We all
That's right. This is High and Dry Podcast. So in the event, we all vote the same way. It was never any different. We all felt.
Your opinion magically changes. And it'll do the same. It'll do the same if we get outvoted. But there are no split decisions. Our opinion
We're
changes.
We're all in it together.
We're unified. The Grinch takes it. Congratulations, Mr. Grinch, on unanimously defeating Tyler Durden in round two. So moving on to round three, it's the same thing as round two, except this time they get to bring a friend.
Woo! This is what I was waiting for.
This will be interesting. There's a lot going on here. Grinch famously friendless.
Well,
he's got a dog. Let's see what happens.
Okay. So we could resurrect Max. He's obviously had his neck and like flung over the side of the ring in round one. But I think I'm going to bring in
Zero from Nightmare Before Christmas, because that's Max. Yeah, that's dead Max, right?
That's it. That's,
that's trippy.
I'm going to bring in Cindy Lou Who.
Okay.
So she's cute. She's very sweet. But she, with the power of her cute, innocent little voice, is just going to destroy Tyler Durden, just with the pure beauty.
It's going to cure the narrator of dissociative identity disorder.
Absolutely, yeah. No medication could compete with
Christmas spirit.
Yeah, those big eyes and that little beautiful song. She's just going to destroy him. She's just going to melt his eyes with innocence. So,
even 90s angst didn't kill children.
That's true. I mean, that's why we're here.
Yeah. Tyler Durden, I think you're totally right that if he went to go attack this tiny little girl, you know that Brad Pitt first face where he's like, God, I want to do it so bad, but then he like fights himself.
Yeah, he's doing that like.
Yeah, like yeah. I want to punch this kid to death, but I can't bring myself to do it.
He's doing like full kind of like what's in the box kind of.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, go, James, what are your thoughts? What's going to happen?
I agree with this matchup. I think that it doesn't matter who Tyler Durden brings. Actually. I think that he's going to fail. I think that having ultimate childlike innocence and goodness is the counter. It's to Gen X angst. Mm-hmm. I think that's the opposite.
Well, then I would like to offer one friend that Tyler Durden could potentially bring.
Sure.
Because we're talking about Zero, we're talking about all of them. So you have Tyler Durden. Looks like Brad Pitt for a second, but then you realize that it's Edward Norton, which means that Brad Pitt's still available.
Oh, Achilles?
No. I think he is going to bring in his character from the Inglourious Basterds.
Okay.
I think there'll be a scene, because he's trying to steal Christmas, he's trying to steal America, where you have that character, you know, talking about, you know, we don't want, you know, when this war is over and you're done fighting Tyler Durden, Grinch, you're going to go back home. You're going to shave your green fur. I don't want you to forget. I don't want anyone. He's going to carve, you know, Nazi into the Grinch's forehead. And I think that because we're talking about generational battles, I think that Tyler Durden is going to bring the greatest generation and, you know, bring the head of the Inglorious Bastards. And they're going to beat the fuck out of them with a bat.
It's going to be like 90.
We get them at their best. and so I see him. I can't remember his name right now.
I can't remember.
I can't. It's gone.
The guy from Inglourious Basterds. That's who I think.
I would have been able to tell you in the past. I tried to rewatch Inglourious Basterds.
It's a long film.
It was really long, and it felt kind of trite. It didn't feel as meaningful as it did nowadays because, you know, of all the Nazis running around.
We just let him run around.
It definitely doesn't feel as I don't feel as inspired anymore or entertained. I'm just kind of like, fuck.
Maybe we need
it's too him. Close to reality. Yeah.
We need him. and so I think that Tyler Durden,
he's also like incompetent and like hyper patriotic, like incredibly nationalistic, but the other
which
side,
which fits right into it. You have some son of a bitch trying to steal Christmas.
But then,
you know, I think it's like paper versus scissors at this point.
But then Tyler Durden's trying to destroy the credit card companies, which are also like, that's an American
but
tradition.
But they'll sort that out after they take care of Nazi over here.
Then they'll fight?
Yeah.
I still think Grinch.
Well, so bringing it back, Holly, final thoughts and a vote. How's this going to go down?
It's Grinch all the way. He's gonna win this just because of the pure power of Cindy Lou Who. Mm-hmm. She can't be beaten. She literally can't be beaten. She's a child.
His comedic ability to take damage is like insane.
Yeah.
When we put them in a blank room, his comedic ability to take damage didn't have much of an effect. He was just an exploding mass of teeth and fur.
Like a Muppet.
Yeah, like a Muppet. Exactly right. But like now that he has his comedic ability to recover from extreme damage, I think that he and the power of an innocent child. Because you know Brad Pitt from Inglourious Basterds wouldn't attack a child either. She's a little white girl.
Yeah. Well, I think that
nobody attacks little white girls. Not in the movies.
I think I'm gonna go the same way. But I think it's gonna be a Pyrrhic victory. I think that, you know, the Grinch is gonna be on his knees, you know, just getting his shit wrecked with a bat.
hits the button on the sled and it runs him over, just drags the blood stain.
You know, or even if she's just like, she comes down the stairs and she's got her little song and everything like that.
She has, yeah.
And then she blows him away with, you know, her father's rifle.
Yeah. Poof, poof. Yeah.
He didn't fly off and end up okay. Oh no.
Then she just goes back to bed. The Grinch is like, gotta go sew his teeth back in.
She's got her glass of water and she goes back to bed. Yeah, that's it.
Well, there you have it, folks. Congratulations, Mr. Grinch. You have won this particular episode. So 2-1. Grinch takes it. He's a mean one. Congratulations, Grinch. You have defeated Gen X Fury.
That is some feat, really.
That's kind of what happened. They kind of just said, oh, yeah, fuck it.
It kind of just got phased out where people were like, oh, this isn't really going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
This angst is directionless and therefore hasn't achieved much.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it, folks. So Grinch takes it. Congratulations, Mr. Grinch. Holly, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks, guys. It's been a blast. Thank you so much. Thank you.
We hope you had fun. We hope you people at home enjoyed the listen. Holly, before we call it a day, where can we find you again?
So you can find me on Instagram and also on Twitter. My handle is Holly Weird. So it's Holly, W-Y-R-D.
Lovely. Awesome. Well, thank you so much again. It has been a great time. And for those of you listening, if you've listened to this, you know where to find us. You did it.
Yeah, how could you listen to us without knowing where we are?
Congratulations. You did it. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.